All right, so where are we? Let's take the next, let's skip a little bit here. Let's take the question of being a shoal in the nation. So what does the Mishnah say? Beprokim shoal b'nei akavod ha'meshiv u'bemsa shoal b'nei ayira ha'meshiv. So what does Rashi learn? Beprokim. Go ahead, who's reading today? Okay, so Rashi says Biprakim means Bain Hafsakos. So that's interesting. So what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that there are certain natural stops, right? There are stops within Kriyat Shema. Right? Saying though is Rashi saying, okay, so the question is, why is Rashi say Bain Hafsakos? Bain Hafsakos. Why doesn't he say Bisoch Hafsaka? Is that what he's saying? Bahafsik. Yeah. So is that a good question? Let's first of all ask if that's a good question. It's interesting because the Mishnah says Biprakim, right? In the Parakim. And it doesn't really mean in the Parak. Biprakim. And then it has be'emtsa. The lashon of the Mishnah is really worse. Is really difficult. Biprakim really means what? Bein aprakim. You say bein aprakim, then you're going to get into the problem with Rashi, right? You can't say bein aprakim and bein hefsek means the same thing. See, the Mishnah says later, Elu hein bein haprakim. Does use the lashon bein haprakim later on, right? In the end of the Mishnah, Elu hein bein haprakim, bein bracha rishona lishnia, bein shnia lishma, bein shma levoyim shma.
Are you saying that from the fact that you see the Mishnah?
Now, his plain pshat is like this: biprakim means what? What's biprakim and beemtsa? What's the plain pshat? Biprakim means what? It means you're breaking up prakim. Now it is dealing with the prakim as entities. Biprakim, right? Now, if I am saying prakim, so then in the middle of my saying prakim, in my saying prakim, I can be shoel meshiv mipnei. I can be shoel mipnei covered meshiv. Right, but it means biprakim. It means it's dealing with the prakim as entities. Right, that's biprakim. Beemtsa means in the middle of the within the prakim itself. That is saying you're dealing with prakim as entities, and you're saying I'm kore several prakim. Right, so in the midst of being a kore prakim, I can make a break. It can be shoel mipnei akavod meshiv. So that would have to. So Rashi is explaining what does it mean biprakim, right? Biprakim over there means to say that I'm not. It's not considered biprakim in the middle of a parak. Biprakim means within the saying of prakim, but you have to be complete in each parak. Otherwise, right? You understand what I'm saying? Biprakim means the activity. Biprakim means I'm taking the activity of reading, of saying prakim, and I'm breaking that up. But if I haven't completed the parak, I'm not. I haven't done the activity of reading a parak. In other words, saying in the middle of your saying prakim, you can do this. So that means that between parak and parak. That means that there are a number of prakim that I'm reading, right? So that each parak is like a unity. Each parak is like a unit, correct? And in the midst of my being kore prakim, I can do this. But that doesn't give you any. That doesn't mean within being kore a parak. That's a different thing. Prakim means you're dealing with all of them as entities, as units. So there's no, you can't subdivide. That's not the point of, that's not subdividing a parak. What's the matter, Mike? Good? So b'prakim, you could be sholem there, cover the meshiv. Go ahead, and b'emtza ha-bracha or parsha, then it's what? Oh, so what is shalom there covered, Rashi? Someone who is honored, who it's fitting to give shalom to. Okay. Umeshiv. And you can answer if he asked you. Shita. Okay. Go ahead. Ube'emtza. Yeah. So mipnei ha'yira, according to Rashi, means what? Real fear. Real fear of harm. Right? This is a big machlokas in Rishonim, but let's stick with Rashi. The Rambam seems to also hold like that. That it's a case of real fear of harm. So then what? Then what? Then you can be Shoel Mipnei HaYira and be Meshev. Okay. So that's the Tanakhama. That what? That's Rebbe Meir. That between the Prakim, you can be Shoel Meshev Mipnei HaKavod. Right? That's the way the Gemara comes out. And within the prakim, you can only be shol and meshiv because of real fear of harm, right? Within the prayer, right? Okay, and Rabbi Yehuda says. That's difficult. He says that what in the middle of the parak, you can be shol bnei ayira, certainly. That's real danger. But he says you can be meshiv, even only mipnei hakavod, right? And beemtza, I'm sorry, and beprakim, you can be shoel mipnei hakavod, right? But you can even be meshiv l'chol adam. So in terms of the shalom, in terms of the shoel, they're the same. Right? In terms of shoel, they're the same. They both hold that be'emtza, you can be shoel bnei ayira. And be'prakim, you can be shoel bnei akavod. The difference is that Rebbe Yehuda holds that by meshiv, you can go down one level, like the Ram says in the Parashat, you go down one level by being a meshiv. And Rebbe Meir holds it's the same. Right? Okay. But the question is, I mean, aside for the case of Yira, why are you talking during Kriya Shma? What is going on with you? You're saying Kriya Shma. Why are we talking during Kriya Shma? What is going on with you? I mean, it's a difficult sugya. Alright, let's take a look at Gemara.
First, a question. I'd love to just teach you a halacha that this that kavod would knock out,
That we'll take Rabbi Yehuda. So you said you could be meishiv the chol adam. I mean, what? You owe sacred mitzvah. You have to give kavod to the guy now. You have to be shoel b'shlomo. I mean, you have a. It's like asay doch asay. I mean, what is it? If you look at the Rishonim, they say like they're matir over here. It's like a heter over here. But what is? I mean, aren't you involved in Kriya Shma? How could you be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shma? The guy who's other nichbad, the royal lahakdim alo shalom, he's not going to understand that you're involved in Kriya Shma. He's going to be offended that you don't talk to him during Kriya Shma. I mean, and yeah. Right. Right. I mean, right. If it's a question of is it a hefsek or not, So it's just a big question, is talking a hefsek or not? I mean, it depends who you're talking to, that's going to make it hefsek or not. Yeah. Right. See that's where I told you that there's something surprising in this in these halachas, and we don't normally. Your basic impression is that if you speak in the middle of something, you basically Swiss Oster the whole thing. That's not true. The Gemara does not consider sicha just in general to destroy the whole thing. The only question that comes up, I mean, it's very complicated. It's not so simple. The question that comes up, that's the sugya I want to go into next, is if you're shoha kedei ligmor es kula. That's a question if you have to be chozer l'rosh. But over here, the Gemara doesn't seem to be asking at all about a question of whether you have to, it doesn't seem to be asking a question of if you're yotzei or if you blew it or not. Right, it's just a question of a heter. Are you allowed to? But it doesn't seem like if you held that you're not allowed to, it would necessarily be a hefsek. That's not the subject matter of this. Strangely enough, that's not the subject matter of this Gemara. The subject matter of the Gemara is not a question of whether talking in the middle of Kriya Shema is a hefsek. Right, it's what talking you're allowed to do. But why isn't talking a hefsek? In the middle of Kriya Shema, why isn't talking hefsek? Yeah, so they were showing him go into exactly what be'emtza means. I mean, basically they come out. I think that the first pasuk you can't talk in the middle of at all, and. Be'emtza could mean within a pasuk if it's like a if there's like a natural break, you know, like I guess like in the sefer, but not say ow. All right, and then the Gemara has the same question by Megillah and Hallel, right? By Megillah and Hallel, are you allowed to talk in the middle of Megillah and Hallel? Alright, so what must you say? Let's start slow over here. So let's say a person, let's take Hallel. Let's take Megillah. Easier to think about. Less, you view it more as a simple Kriya. Yeah. Right. Okay, but let's just start simple like this. Let's take the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Let's just... So I say the mitzvah is what? What's the mitzvah? To read the Megillah. Right? Now, let's say I read one parak, and then I have a little conversation, and then I read the next parak, and I have another little conversation, and I do that until I finish all the prakim. Did I read the Megillah, or did I not read the Megillah? I read the Megillah. Right? In other words, there's nothing because I speak. The Gemara doesn't seem to... There's no assumption. There's no assumption over here that because I said something in the middle of reading the Megillah, it's considered like I didn't read the Megillah. Right? Meaning... And I'm just using Megillah as a simple example, but in terms of this most basic question, it applies to all of them. Right? That's the assumption over here. That the speaking itself is not going to break up the maisa, not going to break up your asiya. It's like any other asiya. Right? I have to be korei. I have to say this parsha. So I said it. Who says I have to say it quickly? I have to say it without something in between. I mean, it's just the mitzvah is to be korei the parsha. If there's a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz. So I check this room and I have a conversation. I check that room. Why do we? Why does it have to be all at once? Right? Why does it have to be all at once? Curry this part, curry this part, and curry that part. Right? So, I mean, that seems to be the basic premise over here. So if that's the case, what's the problem of being masik? Why do you need a heter? Why do you need a heter for it all? What's the whole question? Right? There is some sort of a heter, right? That's what the Gemara in Yuma, that the Rif quotes, v'dibarta bom atem medabrim, right? Funny drasha, v'dibarta bom. You can speak here, right? I mean, it's machlokus what the Gemara means, but v'dibarta bom v'lo betfila. So the Bali Tosus learned bom meaning in Kriya Shema you can be shol u'meishiv, but you can't be shol u'meishiv in tefillah. V'dibarta bom yesh l'cho rishus. Only those things you're allowed to say. B'dvarim l'daber v'lo b'dvarim acher. But now it doesn't mean you just have a right to speak in the middle of Kriya Shema. Right? V'dibarta bom, that's a different drasha. That's about Torah. Right? So the question is like this: If in terms of the asiyas hamitzvah, whether you speak or not, your oseh hamitzvah, doesn't seem to be a question here of being yotze, right? So what's the problem? What's the heter? What do you need the heter for? I mean, marshach. If speaking is a problem, then you shouldn't be able to speak at all. And if it's not a problem, what do you need the heter for? Yeah, right. Now, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, between Hashem Elokeichem and MS, you don't break. Right, that's different. So the Rishonim say over there, you actually need a tziruf between those words. Right, that's different. So that's right. Chaim is right. Sometimes if you need a tziruf, then any break, then a break will be a problem. But over here, it's not that you need the tzirif. You need to be korei. You need to be korei the parsha. The parsha has a pre-existing definition. Shem Elokeichem, emes is not part of the pasuk, so you have to be mitzarif it. But the Megillah is a fixed text. Hallel is a fixed text. Shema is a text, and you're korei. You don't need to have a tzirif. As a question, there is another question. If you waited too long, is that a problem? Okay, that's a separate question. If you waited, could they live more school? But that's not what this Gemara is talking about. This Gemara is talking about just a short, speaking in between. I mean, this is all halacha l'maaseh. If you look, by Megillah, all these cases, Chava says you shouldn't speak during Megillah. But if you spoke, it's not a problem. As long as you speaking didn't make you miss a word, it's not automatically. Now, not yotze. Yeah. Okay. So we're not talking here about the question of whether the heftza of Kriya Shema is destroyed or not. Right? In terms of the asiyas hamitzvah, a divorce is not so sir the ma'aseh hamitzvah. Right. But the heter, and the reason why you need the heter, is because of the gavra, right? Because the gavra is now involved in asiyas hamitzvah, right? He's involved in asiyas hamitzvah. He started a mitzvah that has a completion ahead of it, right? So now he doesn't have a right to remove himself from doing it. Doesn't have a right to remove. He's already osek in a certain inyan of mitzvah. So the question over here is not. We have to just make sure we're focused right on the right question. Right? The question here is not a question of does dibor break up Kriya Shema. It's not the question. Right? question is more focused on when someone is osek in an asiyas hamitzvah of dibor. Let's limit it to dibor right now. I mean, I know you're going to ask me about other types of questions, but when he's osek, he's in the middle of an asiyas hamitzvah of dibor. For some reason, it seems to be limited to dibor, this question. Right? Does he have a right to stop? Does he have a right to stop? That's what Chaim is saying, yeah. In other words, you got a differentiation between the Maisa and the Gav. In terms of the Maisa, it's a cut and dry question. Is the Maisa mitzvah being done or not? So, either you hold that Kriya needs a tziruf between every word, or it doesn't. Okay, so from the fact that you see all of these hafsakos bedibor are permissible, then it seems that there is no requirement of a tziruf like that. There's no requirement of a tziruf like that. That's why I said by Hashem Elokeichem MS, their Rishonim say you can't even be Shoel Neayira. That's different. That's dafka tziruf. Okay. But because like I said before, they're not naturally together. It's not naturally together, right? But in terms of reading the Parshios or reading Megillah, it's not a problem if there's another dibur in between the words. Okay, but that's either a yotze or a not yotze question. But in terms of the Gavra being involved in mitzvah, that is an area in halacha where that's rife with this type of ideas. You shouldn't do mitzvahs chavilos, marvir and al mitzvahs, all kinds of, those are not things. If a guy's marvir al mitzvah and he comes back to, he's not yotze. If a guy does mitzvahs chavilos, he's not yotze. Of course he's yotze. Right? That's a different question. That's a question of what's the right thing to do. Are you allowed to break an activity or combine activities? Those are different types of questions, right? So then the question over here is again not a question of is the unity of Kriya Shema whole or broken by saying Shalom Aleichem or not, but the question is, once you're osek in a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, do you have a right to stop for She'el HaShalom in general? Okay, that's the generalized question. And that, you can see, the Gemara can now go from that and say, well, what about Megillah? You understand? That's portable. Okay, so what about Tefillah, though? What about Tefillah? Why is Tefillah so different? Why is tefillah, we say, certainly you can't? Right. Okay. Yeah, what you're saying is correct. Let's just put it into this framework that we're discussing here, is that by Kriya Shema, Hallel, and Megillah, it's essentially the Maisa. The Maisa is Kriya, and there's nothing within the Maisa that would cause a problem of stopping. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing in Kriya per se that demands a continuity. People read things over periods of time. It's because of the general activity of the Gavra of involvement of mitzvah that would make it not proper to be mafsik, to stop, right? But by tefillah, the very activity, the very maisa that he's doing, is a maisa of omid lefnei Hashem, right? It's not like Chaim saying it's not just a maisa kriya. The maisa itself, the activity itself, has a certain demand. You understand? The activity itself. If a person were osek in kriya, and he put it down and he came back to it, you wouldn't say that shows that he's not osek for kriya properly. No, it's fine. But the idea of being omed lifnei Hashem requires a certain level of involvement in the Maisa itself requires a certain frame of mind, like Yehuda is saying. So if a person were Omid Lifnei Hashem, he were Besoch Tefillah, and then he would break, that would be a Gnai to the whole Maisa. That would be a problem with the Maisa itself. You understand? That would be Keneged, the very activity. There's nothing Keneged Kriya to say something. Yes, there's nothing within the idea of Kriya that says if you say Shalom Aleichem to somebody in the middle of Kriya, that it's a Gnai to the Kriya. It's Keneged the Maisa Kriya. But it's Keneged a Maisa of being Omid Bifnei Hashem to recognize somebody else. Still doesn't mean it's going to be so sere the Maisa. But it's an impropriety in the Maisa itself, as opposed to simply the general activity of mitzvah. You hear? I'm sticking to the chiluk, but I'm saying the difference is where the problem lies. By tefillah, the problem lies within the maisa itself. Right? Whereas by Kriya Shema, excluding the first pasuk, we're not dealing with the first pasuk, Kriya Shema, Megillah, and Hallel, that potentially is a problem in the activity of mitzvah in general. There. In other words, we're not looking now in terms of the question of are you Yotzi or not. We're looking in terms of the question, where is the source of the problem of Sheila Shalom? Is the source of the problem the general activity, like by Kriya Shema, Hallel, and Megillah, or is there a source of the problem within the Maisa itself? Okay, so you can see why Tefillah is treated differently from the other things, because the problem stems. You don't have to go to saying, well, he's involved in mitzvah in general, so how could he remove himself from mitzvah? You can say the very maisa, you don't have to go to the general category of the involvement of the guy. You say the very maisa of being b'fnei ha-melech demands that you don't recognize other people. You understand? It's part of the very maisa. Now, if he were to recognize other people, does that mean he wasn't b'fnei? I don't know. We have to see what the Gemara say about that. But the problem is in the primary thing, not in the secondary thing. When you get to Kriya Shema, Hallel, Megillah, there's a problem in the secondary activity. So then you can say, okay, well, maybe he can switch from this primary to another primary. We'll have to see. Maybe he can switch from Kriya Shema to Sheila Shalom. That's because underlying both, maybe he's involved in something that's similar. We'll have to see. That's something that we'll have to play around with, but I'm just trying to show you why there's a chiluk. Sometimes it's good not to say the chiluk. Why it's a different inyan. It's a different inyan. I broke my nose. What's the idea with Rabbi Yehuda? Let's stick with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the idea with Rabbi Yehuda that Meshiv is less than a Shoel? You can be Meshiv to more than you can be a Shoel. I mean, why? Just because someone talked to me doesn't mean that it's automatically a Hefsik in Kriya Shema, because you can't be Meshiv L'chol Adam in the Be'emtza, even though he spoke to you. So you see Be'emtza, you just disregard the guy. Right? So you see, it's not like the fact that someone spoke to you, that's it. So he blew your Kriya Shema. That's it. You gotta stop. There's nothing. You might as well just talk to the guy. There's nothing. It's not like that. So he spoke to me, okay, but I didn't stop saying Kriya Shema until I choose to answer him. Right? So why is being a Meshiv less than a Shoel? You still have to get to the point where the guy decides to stop saying Kriya Shema and talk to this guy. What's the difference if he sees the guy and decides to say hello, or the guy said hello to him? Right? And what's the difference between Be'emtza and Beina Prakim? Those two things you have to deal with. Right? And Machlokes Reb Meir Reb Yehuda. But we're going to go like the Rambam and Rashi. Okay, the Rambam and Rashi, they're simpler. They're much simpler. Why? Because they're basically saying, at least for Rabbi Meir, they're basically saying, Be'emtza you can't break it up. Be'emtza you can't stop. Unless you're really in danger.